This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you're always ready to go? Nah, they are a little behind me. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up at BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. Take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready when the opportunity arises. It's an easy process. All you got to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to doctor's office, no awkward convos, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door. Does it work? Don't think you need it? Well, try it for a month and see. I think you're going to like it. I think people in your orbit will like it as well. So Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y, at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code MIGHTY to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we'd like to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, standing 6'2", 301 pounds. It's the holidays, folks. Do not keep track of that number. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, Manili Sankolos, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is in the other room and he is a senior dog, so he cannot hear me right now. All you gotta do is trust me. Holy shit, Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. Abortion is healthcare. I think you're doing this a little out of order, Gabris. That's right, I did a bong rip before I came on because I'm chatting to one of my favorite guests. He's back, baby. You know him. You love him. He's in everything, and you'll know what he's here to plug now. It's Johnny Bimbadon.
Hey, John.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hey, John.
Thank you for putting down the jug that you were originally just blowing into.
That's actually a huge piece of concrete tubing.
Oh,
a massive concrete. It's a caisson. They're building a bridge outside my house, and it's a massive caisson they're using to go underneath the river that's just formed where they're building the bridge.
That newly formed river right by your house.
Yeah, it's called the New River. It's great. The New Canaan River. We've got a bunch of missionaries here trying to dunk some people into it to bless them.
Canaanites are in town.
Yeah, these Canaanites, man. These Canaanites, they're just going nuts.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's so fucking fun to have you back, man.
Likewise.
It's always a good time.
It's always a ripper.
A little bit of a ripper, dude.
Bit of a pure rip.
We wanted to talk
We wanted to talk. You wanted to talk. I wanted to talk. We all want to talk. Donuts.
Donuts.
It's a fucking hell of a pitch. It's like one of the most basic and most... You mentioned before we record, you're like, it's one of those really like simple topics that's also very complicated. I'll say in the inherent like food that is a donut, it's a very basic ass, but also... potentially super complicated. Like, donuts have been around forever. They're cop snacks.
Yeah.
Like, you bring it to the office. There's bad donuts. Old classic fat guy food. Classic, like, fat character loves donuts.
Every culture has, like, a kind of a donut, pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. Like, pastry of some sort.
Yeah, it's called, like, this is called a gushkaga, and it's a... that's a donut, bro.
Yeah, it's got gushkaga cream inside. Okay, I think you're Boston.
Custard.
Right?
Yeah, you got some custard in there? You got some fruits? No, it's mogasa fruits. Like, okay. It tastes pretty good. I like it.
Tastes like blueberry.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, oh, hell yeah. It's funny. I'm not even a donut guy, but you don't have to be to have like intense feelings about them.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm a donut guy.
We're presented by donuts so frequently in life to begin with. And I think even more so since I moved to Los Angeles.
It's very donut-y
here.
LA's
like a little bit more donut-y than New York was, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Bagels and coffee is like the big, you know, here it feels like donuts and coffee is like the go-to for some reason.
I didn't think about that. It's true. It's very donut-heavy here. There's a lot of premier donut shops. There's also a lot of like really boring, middle-of-the-road, classic donut shops.
Yeah. I love the donut shop aesthetic, LA. I feel like part of it is probably because so much of LA seems to like was built in like the 60s or 70s and has not changed in any
or
way.
Has
like,
it didn't make it past a certain time. It got destroyed.
Right, right.
It got condoed.
Got absolutely fucking, I got fucking condoed out there, pal. I'll tell you this much. I was out there, this fucking guy wasn't even paying attention. I got fucking condoed, dude. They opened
up. Next thing I know, I signed the fucking lease away for 100 fucking years and they built condos there.
And now they want to let me be on the condo board and help choose the fucking plants outside. Yeah, right.
I don't give a fruit about the goddamn plants.
You know I don't give a shit about plants. You know that, right?
Ding dong whisper.
But I feel like donuts are one part because of like they were super popular at a time and then they stuck. And there are these kind of businesses that are very LA specific that seem that like you get a lot of like the taco and pastrami places that are like ancient and like they just managed to survive in one of the highest like turnover real estate cities in the world or whatever somehow. And I feel like partially that donuts and then also much like the burger is here, like the burger.
Yeah.
I think it's like that car culture. Like a donut is a car food if you want it to be.
Totally. It's easy to take along with you in the nice pink box. Yeah. Everyone, also, if you bring them, like I started bringing them to parties a few years ago. And when you bring a box of donuts to a party, people are like, oh God, yes. Oh my God.
Yeah, no like, one's mad about it. Because you know what?
Like, yeah.
There's no negative to having a bunch of donuts around. They are like... Also, like, they are not, like, heavy. They're not necessarily, like, a drinking food, but if you've had a few drinks...
They kind of are, though.
Yeah, I would be ready to have a fucking donut.
Oh, yeah.
Were you a donut kid?
Hell yeah.
I never really had donuts outside of Dunkin' Donuts until I was, like... Until a Krispy Kreme became kind of popular on Long Island.
Oh, that was
like,
big, man. The Krispy Kreme shit, when that happened. 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was in high school or something when a Krispy Kreme came to our town. It was like a thing where people would wait in line for hours to get these fucking donuts.
Yeah, it was
such a big deal.
I know you're a little younger than me, but it was from when I was in high school too, because I remember it was like when I got my car, when I got my license, I was like, I can't wait. I'm going to drive to Krispy Kreme. Because I don't know if it's true for all Krispy Kremes, but when the hot light was on.
Hot and ready.
You can get like a free one too.
Yes, you get I remember that. You get a free one.
Yeah. So if you're like, when we were kids, we'd be like, you know, 17, be like, you would wait in line for one donut. You know, you'd be like, oh, yes, the hot light's on. And then a second you got a little older and the lifeguarding money was flowing a little better, you'd be like, I'll take a dozen right now. I'm not going to, I'll take it whenever the fuck. I don't give a fuck about the light. Yeah.
I tried to eat a bunch of them one time. You can't eat that many Krispy Kreme donuts, I think. Some about them.
Okay, that's funny you say that, because there's something about them that lends you to think you could.
Right, they seem light.
They are
not
airy, but they're jizzy. Like they're syrupy. They're jizzy.
They have like a weird, like sort of syrupy thickness to them that just you can't eat more than I can't eat more than two, and I can eat usually two or three donuts, no problem. Yeah.
I need variety in order to get through the second donut. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, if I have like, I could do like a jelly and a blueberry cake or a jelly and a
blueberry cake? Really?
Dude, is one of my, it's crazy. Even when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite donuts.
That's not a good donut.
The Dunkin' Donuts blueberry donut is one of my favorite donuts of all time. And I think... Even when I was a kid, I loved chocolate. I loved Boston cream. I didn't love like pink frosting or vanilla frosting. That never appealed to me. I liked chocolate cake, and then blueberry just came in, and that was before I even started drinking coffee. And then once I would have coffee, blueberry donut and a fucking regular,
I love a plain cake with coffee.
A plain donut hits.
Unplayed? A plain cake, a good quality, fresh, plain cake with coffee. Oof. You can have like three or four of those. Maybe have like the powdered sugar one in there too. Just make huge mess.
Absolute.
Huge. Huge mess. You made a fucking huge mess, bro.
Johnny's got his fucking bridge building set up over there. He's
yeah. Hey, guys, keep it down out there, okay? Hey, fuck you.
Hey, fuck you, buddy. Are you trying to fucking condo me? I got condoed by the Pemberton guy.
Again. Look, you know why they call Marie Kondo, right? Because she makes your place ready to get to be turned into condos.
She's fucking ready. She gets rid of all your favorite sweaters so you can turn your house into a fucking condo, dude.
Clean it up. Make some money, bitch.
Oh, the other type of donut that was big in my life as a kid was not just Dunkin' Donuts, but they were...
Right.
That was the only like donut place we ever went to, but the Entenmann's mini donuts.
Hell yeah, those are a thing, man. Those are like suck them down to Chinatown kind of thing. Those are
really good. The chocolate ones that are like you can have like 100 of those with that like yellow sponge inside. Yeah,
they have like a certain type of. It's almost like a wax. It's like eating wax.
It's like
in
eating
a way.
Like Baby Bell cheeses. Like.
Yes. Oh. Those are so good.
Those are good. And then, I'm remembering the Donettes you can maybe buy at like a 7-Eleven or...
Your prison, what's it called? The place in the prison where you get your food?
Yeah, commissary.
Prison. It's a very prison commissary snack. It's only a step above the honey bun, okay?
Right.
It's basically telling people you've had... If you like honey buns a lot, you've served some time. You've done some time. If you see a honey bun and like, ooh, damn, I got to hold on to that so I can trade it for a cigarette later. Fucking honey bun.
Along those lines, I used to lifeguard with this great dude, big fucking buff weirdo, but he was kind of like a jock, handsome jock. All he cared about was chase and tail, but he was very, very good at chess. And he would we would play chess on breaks and he would beat everybody. And like dudes from other beaches would come by and just lose to this guy. And I'm like, hey, man, Terry, when did you get so good at chess? And he would always just say, I used to have a lot of free time. Eventually, we learned that he did like 10 years for manslaughter. And we were like, okay.
So yeah, sometimes I think about prison. It's kind of, in a way, it's this unfair advantage you get to just really buckle down and study something. You get no one's calling you.
That's what us two white guys always say about prison. It's it's actually an advantage.
I mean,
you get all this free fucking workout time.
You get so jacked, you get to concentrate.
Get the library, dude.
You get to like think about like, okay, I gotta get my shit together because when I get out, I have to have some priorities. I gotta like stay away from these things because I don't want to go back there.
I ain't coming back.
I'm coming back in a fucking body bag.
Jail. All right.
Like, you know, you're
alive inside. You're like, and that's another 8 years, Mr. Pemberton. Unzip the body bag and get out. His one request was to come in a body bag.
Yeah, we bring dead people to prison now just to disrespect them in a deeper level. It's an extreme form of disrespect.
He owed some medical debt, so he's got to go to debtor's prison as a corpse.
Yeah, we can't
bury rules.
Can't bury the body. Not allowed to be buried.
The Donettes, man, the powdered Donettes.
Yeah,
that was like that. They were in between like delicious, sweet donut and saltine. Like the way that powder would hit your mouth, it would suck the fucking moisture out of your mouth like so fast.
I had a cool snack.
You'd be like fucking Ashy Larry if you ate those.
Yeah, though it just robs you of moisture. It just sucks it away. It's like a weird, like a special chemical that just dehydrates your mouth.
Yeah, it's like you're in Fury Road, like guys who like spray the silver in their mouth, like just spray the Donut.
It's just powdered sugar. What do they say? Tributary? What do they scream? They scream.
I forget what it is. I'm a tribute. Yeah,
something like that.
I love that fucking movie.
It's great. I made a cool snack last night. I took some saltines. And I put butter on them.
Whoa.
I ate about 10 of those with some butter on the saltine.
Do they become Ritz crackers at that point? Because Ritz feels like a buttery cracker. Yeah,
I guess, but you know, it doesn't. You know how Ritz kind of crumbles too much? I don't like Ritz. I prefer a saltine.
Yeah.
The saltine has like a more of a, it's more al dente, you could say.
Got a little more structure. I prefer a wheat thin to all of the above. I don't know if we're in the same category here.
But wheat thins,
if you're putting saltines and Ritz in the same category, I think we could put wheat thins and Triscuits in there too. I'm a fucking,
I guess
of the four, wheat thins is my jam. Yeah.
I think I like a high-end saltine the ultimate because it's so classic.
Oh, and so
especially now with my new snack with butter on it, you put a pat of butter on a saltine,
a little Kerrygold salt.
Kerrygold unsalted though, because all the salt on the saltine
is
takes
doing
up
what you need it to do.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe I haven't done this before. I'm a big toast guy. I love toast.
Oh, these are this is like mini toast snacks. This is like the Lunchables of this is Toastables.
Yeah, it's drunken no cook toast.
Right. Is toast too difficult to make? A, take a look at your life. B, let me recommend saltines with butter on it.
Saltines with butter. It's like, it does the job of toast. It's crunchy. It's a bread. And you can have like little ones so you can pop them in. Oh,
ooh,
I'm loving this.
That's awesome.
It's like a donut kind of in a way. It's like a little.
Well, it's in the category of like savory donuts. Which I am, which I really like a crack at, especially like with a dozen, having one that's like maple bacon or like, you know, something that's not fully sweet. So you can like, you don't feel like you're ripping through like 900 calories of sugar. You feel like you can like downshift your taste buds to like something else for a little bit.
It's a classic trick because you're still having just as much sugar. You just have the salt with it. So it seems like you're not having any sugar.
Right, and then you're like, salty. Oh, now I can go for something sweet, like a real dessert to my two donuts I've eaten so far.
It was a sandwich, really. It was a BLT, basically. It's a BLT with, like, you know, 1,000 grams of sugar.
What? Why are donuts, like, the cliche fat guy food? I have a pitch, and I think it's because they look good on camera. So, like,
that makes sense, actually.
So,
yeah.
So many, like, in order to sell it in TV, that this guy, and it's like an easy thing, like, then having like a bunch of like stinky hot dogs on set or something like that. So,
yeah,
it's like,
I guess
this guy's jamming down donuts desperate. And, like, if you're an actor, I think you'd rather jam a donut into your mouth and spit it out than like a hot dog or like a burger or something like that, right?
God, I don't even know. All that food acting stuff is just the worst. I had a thing I did years ago, the last commercial I ever did. I think it was for Denny's. This is a while ago. And I had to eat like these weird, it wasn't weird, it was like a fucking Reuben or something. Oh shit. Oh, sorry, my keyboard just lost connection. I had to eat all these like little Reuben sandwiches kind of thing, right? But I would spit it out. But it doesn't matter if you spit it out because it's still like a thing where
you get like the taste fatigue in your mouth.
The taste, but also all the salt and all the stuff, your mouth is still absorbing a ton of it. And I felt terrible afterwards. I felt so sick.
One of my first commercials ever was like for a poker website, and my character like opens an Oreo, like, and like it's like about a tell in the office, and I pop half into my mouth, and they're like, "Do you want a spit bucket?" And it's my first commercial. I'm like, "I'm good. I love Oreos." Oh. And then like, and I like take 12. I'm like, "Can I get a spit bucket? I'm so sorry. Like, I lied. I'm a fucking rookie. Of course I need a spit bucket." I was ready to just hammer Oreos, and I'm like, so many people do a lot of takes in the industry. Commercials, they, you know, that's what they're paying
the most
for. You're a human C-stand for the day.
You're just a fucking prop that moves.
Yeah. I love it. Please.
That was the last one. I'll never do a food one ever again.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I get that. It's not ideal.
Yeah. I'm done.
Eating. I'm done doing commercials.
I would do a donut one, but if I didn't have to eat the donuts, it would just like they gave me free donuts, maybe.
Yeah, donuts, free donuts for life. I would do it.
You know what I was also thinking about is how donut places is one of the only places that are open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Right. And that's, I think, part of what makes it like ends up accidentally being a drunk food in L.A. too. Is yeah. Like, well, the only thing open on the way home is donut time or whatever.
Or cops, yum, too. Yum.
Yeah. And cops. And then like shift workers. And
right.
And then even like when my mom, I guess she's a retired nurse now, but when she was a nurse, it was like you could get donuts before a nursing shift, but not bagels always. Because like
yeah.
not every place was open at 5, you know, but the donut places were.
That's bullshit. You should have bagels. Bagels should be 24 hours a day. There's yeah. got to be 24-hour bagel places in New York, right? There has to be.
There are. Yeah. I could go, like, bagels for dinner. I can, you know, give me a bagel. With pizza on a bagel, you could eat pizza anytime.
Anytime. With pizza on a bagel, you can fucking eat pizza every
time. Pizza in the fucking morning. Pizza in the fucking evening.
Pizza in the afternoon. Remember those ones called, oh my God, remember the Hot Pockets called Side Shots?
No.
They discontinued them. They stopped making them. I think I know why. It's because they look disgusting. They look like an infected spider bite. Like these like little like balls. Like a ball on the package. If you look up.
Hey, Johnny, we're going to have to fire you from the campaign for Side Shots. The art direction is not appealing at all.
So we modeled it after a brown recluse bite.
Like, as you can see by my back, where we tested over 12 different spider bites.
Oh, so gross. This is like it is the grossest thing ever. It is like the antithesis to food is spider bite. Oh, because I used to look them. Oh. God, I did not even talk about that. Bites? I was talking about Cafe Du Monde or something like that. Jesus Christ.
Oh, hell yeah. Good call. A beignet. Dude. The New Orleans donut. The donut of New Orleans.
I think that, to me, is the premier, number one, ultimate donut. Like,
if it counts in the donut category, I'm not.
Oh, it does. Enough. It definitely it does.
Yeah.
100%. It's a French donut.
Oh, it's so good. Along those lines, like, I guess maybe this is the Italian donut, but like a Zeppoli always, like, we would eat those at street fairs on Long Island all the time. They're hot. They're in the bag with the powder.
Same
and
thing.
You shake it. It's
Same
just
thing.
Like a beignet, but it's kind of in like a waffle adjacent shape.
Okay.
And you like pull it apart rather than a bunch of little pieces. It's so good. But the first time I went to New Orleans, everyone's like, are you going to go to Cafe? And some people were like, it's a tourist trap. It's a tourist
trap. No, it's
not. And I was like, let me just go for some beignets and a coffee. And I was like, it's the fucking best coffee and beignets I've ever had.
Yes. And also it's so fast too.
Yeah. It's not a trap. It is touristy as fuck, but it is not a trap. People are flying through that place.
It is just so fucking good. I remember when we were doing 21 Jump Street, we shot that in New Orleans, right?
Oh, cool.
And I had a lot of time off. I would, you know, I did a lot of drinking of IPAs and doing comedy shows when I wasn't working. I would regularly go to Cafe Du Monde at about 1 a.m. and have beignets and coffee, and then I would go to sleep. Somehow I could go to sleep back then.
That fucking Cafe Du Monde chicory coffee is so fucking good.
It is the best, especially with the cream and I haven't had it in forever, man.
Me neither. I haven't been to we went for my wife's 40th birthday, but we didn't get Du Monde that year.
I grew up, that was the coffee that was made in my house as a kid.
Oh,
my dad used to have it shipped, because my dad went to college and studied his residency was in New Orleans, so he would have Cafe Du Monde shipped to our house in Minnesota. Like all throughout, when I was a kid, that's the coffee I smelled for the first 18 years of my life.
And you understand why now. Also, I can't believe, like, I'm in my 40s, I have some money.
Yeah.
I'd never thought that I could just have Cafe Du Monde coffee every day.
It's not that great.
No, it's not.
It's dark. It's so dark. You have to put sugar and milk in it because it doesn't taste good black. It tastes like kind of like, heh.
Yeah, it's got a little, that chicory doesn't hit really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to sweeten it up. You got to milk it up.
You ever get that, the blue bottle New Orleans coffee?
Oh, that's really good. That's so good.
That's like a fucking mini milkshake. I got one over by my house. I tried to go to non-blue bottle coffee shops, but every once in a while, I'm just like, I got to get that chicory coffee.
Blue bottle is just great. It's like just very good.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's like, you know, a dark sign of gentrification when you get one in your neighborhood. Because like, then but it is one of those things that's really, like Shake Shack annoys me. It's like, that keeps popping up in cool neighborhoods here in LA. And you're like, it's not bad, but we don't need burgers. But like a fucking dope coffee shop is always going to be cool. And Blue Bottle also does like the little waffle things. I've never gotten
one. Every time. I get one every time.
Are they pretty good? I got to get one now.
I wonder if they're good. I wonder. I wonder if those are good.
Yeah, I mean, I know that it's got to be. But,
it's so fucking good. Hot little waffle comes. Anything that comes, honestly, any food at all that comes in a paper cone, I like it. There's nothing that's bad in a paper cone.
Frites?
Yes.
Hot frites? Man, give me that.
Nuts? Hot nuts?
I'm a freak for frites. Freaks for frites.
I can't even say it. I can't even make my mouth say the words.
He's a freaking frites freak.
You know, what is how you say it in en français? It's a friterie, which is like the hardest of the ways to do all the... It's like all the French R's in one word.
Yeah, it's like single R, double R, and then a triple R.
Friterie, something like that. You can't sound... You sound so like snobby if you say it correctly.
There used to be a place in East Village or Lower East Side, New York, that was just like, it was called like Palm Frites or whatever. And you could just get like a big fucking basket of, and then like they'd squirt random fucking sauces on it and shit like that. You know, you get like, what's like the French green like peppercorn sauce or palm, get fucking smashed on there. So
that's the greatest meal of all time. I feel like I want to make for Christmas. I want to make steak au poivre with fries.
Oh,
like that's the sliced flank steak cooked perfectly with the, the peppercorn sauce, you can dip the fries in it.
Oh, dude. Oh, there was a place in Paris that was all you can eat of that. They only served steak, fries, and au poivre.
And there, maybe a salad, too? No?
I didn't order it. Maybe. Okay. I mean, they probably should give some people some greens so they're not fucking putting blood clots in their toilets in the Saint-Germain district.
Just squirting. But
the WeHo Bistro on Sunset and La Cienega, they do a filet mignon with green peppercorn sauce and French fries, and the French fries are unlimited. I ordered it one time. I was like, oh, I'll upgrade to unlimited. And I was like, I'm ready for more filet mignon. They were like, no, sir.
No, sir.
It would cost way more if it was unlimited. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Sir, no, you've mistaken us. We do not do, no one does unlimited filet mignon, sir. It's one of those things we just don't do unlimited. You know, it might be a kind of a problem if we did that.
Yeah, just everyone just jamming down fucking red meat every day at this rate. Oh, God, I'm starving now. Now,
I know.
We've been talking about donuts for like 20 minutes, and I'm fucking losing my mind.
Yeah. God.
Have you done one of those like donut burgers? I got one once.
Yeah, done
like a gag. I didn't love it, but I
thought, you know what? I think I've had that was like that. It's almost like the cronut.
Yes.
It's like the cronut because it's really, I don't know if I've had a donut burger. I feel like I've had a donut sandwich type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love it, but it's like.
I like a cronut.
A cronut is very good. Cronut is just, it feels like it's just such a perfect thing that feels like it should have happened a long time ago.
Right. It was one of those things that had like a shit ton of hype around it. And you were like, what the fuck? Then you had it and you're like, yeah, no, I totally get it. And now the hype is gone. But people are still cronut fans. It's not like completely out of the... It's not like Pinkberry, which is gone. You know? It's
Have you
like
been to that the donut shop Kettle Glazed on Franklin?
No.
Oh, my God. John, it's the best donuts in L.A.
Is it?
It is the best donuts.
I think it's right next to that place For the Win that has amazing burgers and fried chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, right by the freeway, right by the 101.
Yeah, in that little shopping center there. Yeah.
Yeah.
The place For the Win has, and I literally saw Kettle Glazed last time I was there. I got to get it next time.
You got to get it. The plain glazed are outstanding. Ooh. And it's just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's one of those things where it's a throwback, but they're taking the old style, but they're doing it perfect. Because you know there's that whole craze where people doing like the crazy donuts with cereal on, like the expensive, the nice donuts. Like
the what's the place in Portland?
Donut Friend Voodoo Donuts. Yeah, Voodoo Donuts. Yeah, I'm honestly, I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
I don't dislike it, but it's not my favorite. I don't like it because they'll take a swing on like a savory one, which will make me excited.
Yeah,
but I don't want like I don't need Cinnamon Toast Crunch glued to the top. But. I think I had another kind of place in that wheelhouse is Sidecar Donuts. They're like the most expensive kind of new place in LA that's popping
I don't know that.
Up. Oh, they're really good. They have like their go-to variety box, which I think is a great thing to bring somewhere. It's like, you know, they give you 12 different of their best donuts or whatever.
But they're like crazy. They got tons of stuff on them, like a big old sandwich.
They kind of mix and match. The one that really spoke to me was peanut butter and jelly. And I had just never had like a peanut butter and jelly donut. And it makes total sense. It's adding just peanut butter to like a jelly donut.
It does sound pretty good, honestly.
It was pretty fucking good. Some of them are too much, but like I love like a little maple bacon action. I love a little.
What about a cruller?
Ooh, I'm a fuck. Don't threaten me with a good time. I got no issues with cruller.
I think
especially
the cruller,
since I became a coffee guy. In my 20s. I'm 40. I'm saying when I became a coffee guy.
When he became a coffee guy
20 years ago. But yeah, it's funny. Truly, when as a kid, and I think maybe this is part of being an Italian American, is that so many of the desserts that you have as a kid as an Italian American suck. And you're like, this is garbage. This is
like
fucking
what?
Whack. Like, everything's dry. It's like, oh, it's an amaretto cookie. It's like,
oh, yeah, and it just turns into dust. It's like, yeah.
And you're like, is this baby food? And then when you get old enough to drink coffee, and then you're having coffee after dinner, and everyone's like, you're like, this is fucking amazing with the coffee. And you're like, oh, I wasn't having coffee when I was 13, so these fucking cookies were awful.
Right.
Now I get it.
I love the cruller, though, because it's so airy.
Yeah, it's so like, airy.
Especially the ones that have no icing. Have you ever had a non-iced cruller?
No, I don't think
super
so.
Light icing? A lot of times they'll put like pink icing on them.
Is that like challah bread at that point?
I mean, it is. It's very eggy. So my whole thing is like egg-heavy donuts types or donut variations. The beignet is egg-heavy. It's almost like a souffle type thing in the center. The cruller is also egg-heavy.
I love an eggy pastry.
Yeah, because it's got that. Oh, I just love it. It's like the thing. That's like my favorite thing ever, especially if it's light because it doesn't have a whole lot of sugar. So you get to like just, oh man, I could eat like fucking 3 crullers with a big old coffee.
Oh man, that sounds fucking awesome.
Coffee and crullers, stat.
Let's go. That's why like people screaming at your trailer and shit like that. You're like, Johnny needs another cruller. He's going in there, man. He's having a rough one. He's having a hard time getting off book. He's jamming down crullers. He needs help.
Do you mean an old-fashioned donut? Not a fucking old-fashioned. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, what is an old-fashioned donut?
An old-fashioned, those ones are like super buttery and they're like split open on the top.
Yeah.
I don't like them at all. I find them to be like, it's like eating like a log of butter. I don't like them.
Yeah.
But the cruller is that perfect little circular
crown. It's like braided, right?
Yeah, it's like braided. It's in a mold. I think it's baked. It must be baked, not fried, right? Because how could you have that shape?
Yeah, I don't know, but Dunkin' Donuts had crullers too. I remember, and I always a fan. But those were like super frosted as well, you know. Like,
yeah, they're too. That's the problem with some donuts is there's too much frosting. It's like it betrays the flavor of the donut when you have too much sugar on it. For me, it does.
For me, I'm in full agreement with you. As a matter of fact, like it fucking eats the lunch of the texture of the donut. Which when I was a kid, I always thought I loved how sweet donuts were. But as a grown up, I really like the fucking. I'm more of a dough, put the dough in donut guy.
The fucking dough and the nuts.
Dude, when it like, because it can like dissolve in your mouth without chewing, like when it's like that airy and shit like that, that is just something, that's something special. And then you get like a smear of like the Simpsons pink icing on it and it fucking totally blows the donut
it's just,
for
it's
you.
Too sharp. It's too big. I want that subtle creaminess.
And also the texture of that icing sometimes fucks it up too. It becomes kind of like hard in a way. It takes away from like the experience of like that's why the beignets rule.
Oh yeah,
because there's no like hard edge icing. It's like put it in your mouth and let it dissolve like a fucking tab of sugar acid.
And also, they're so fucking hot. I burned my mouth on those things so many times.
Bro, I'm such a
straight up burned.
I'm such a bitch about burning my mouth these days. Like I'm blowing on soup all the time. Like I had like in my like. A year and a half ago, I had like such a fucking, I should have waited like one more minute to eat my pizza. And I was like in pain for like 8 days. I'm like, this is humiliating. Like
yeah,
I fucked my mouth up so bad.
What kind of pizza was it?
I forget. I think we made it. And then that was part of the reason. Oh. Like, I took it off and I was like starving. I was like, hell yeah.
Gotta
and
let it rest,
just,
man.
Like, cheese just like hot glooped into my mouth. I'm like, you know, that's like napalm. It like sticks to its target. You can't like, it's like. I'm fucking toast. I can't just drop it out of my mouth.
You like Chicago style pizza?
Bro, if you're giving me carbs, cheese, meat, and any kind of sauce, no matter what culture does it, I'm here for it. That's like my...
Yeah.
I mean, that is the description of almost all cuisine, by the way. So I'm not like... but I do... I like Chicago, even though I'm a New Yorker, so I'm going to lose my fucking street cred. They're going to take away my open pass to the San Gennaro Festival. But I fucking like Chicago pizza. I went to Pequod's when I...
But isn't Chicago pizza, it's still Italian, right?
Yeah, it's still Italian.
There's tons of Italians in Chicago, right?
That's where they stopped. They landed in New York and started heading west. And there's no like real Italian American. There's no Little Italy in Los Angeles, one of the biggest cities on the
That's
West
true,
Coast.
True, yeah. You know?
It's so weird. It's like they were like, this is far enough. Like, let's go.
That's weird because Chicago is where I'm doing a bunch of shows in February at the Den Theater.
Oh, that's so weird. The Den Theater in February, Pemberton's doing a bunch of shows.
February 14th to the 17th, my solo show, Minnesota Reggae Colostomy Bag. That's weird.
That's awesome.
I just thought about that. I just remembered that.
By the way, Minnesota Reggae Colostomy Bag feels like a fucking password to something. Like
it does,
like,
kind of, doesn't it?
They're so disjointed, but I know, knowing you, how they are so obvious.
I mean, they are all technically part of my life in a significant way. Yeah,
I know, that's what I'm saying. So, but for anyone else, those four words are like, feels like it's like the Manchurian Candidate and going to activate like a sleeper cell or something.
Yeah, and hopefully it activates the sleeper cell of selling tons of tickets.
Sleeper, sell some fucking seats, baby.
I got to see this show. What the hell is this crap? I got to go down there and see that after I have some Chicago pizza.
Have you had Chicago pizza? Because I would recommend.
Yeah. I love it.
Chasing down Pequod's after a show.
I haven't had Pequod's. I've had a lot of. I was really obsessed with Chicago for a long time. I really was. I wanted to live there. I wanted to live there so bad. My plan before I moved to LA was to move to Chicago and take improv there after college and get some sort of a shitty job, keep playing in a band I played with in college because they all moved there. And that was my plan, was to live in Chicago and do...
Oh, interesting.
Because all my favorite comedians they came from Second City in Chicago.
Right. I post-college, the guys in my short-form group, I was like, I'm older than you guys, I'm graduating, I'm going to move to New York City for now because it's my mom lives 45 minutes outside of it, so it makes it kind of easy for me, for my first apartment to be...
Laundry!
My childhood bedroom, yeah. And I was like... But when you guys graduate, if we're still all doing comedy, we should move to Chicago and get it cracking. And then like they all graduated and kind of like flailed. And I was like, started cooking in New York a little. And I was like, oh, okay, Chicago's out. Found improv in New York. It's not going to happen. But I it appealed to me too. I have like, you know, Chicago energy. You know, I'm a big...
Yeah, you do kind of. You definitely have Chicago energy, yeah.
Like Chicago energy to me, and this... Forgive me to my Chi-Town peeps if I'm way off, but like at least for the white people I know from Chicago, it's like they could be a firefighter. Like every one of them is like, maybe this guy's a firefighter. It's like, no, he's actually a, you know, children's oncologist. And you're like, oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, cool.
Everyone has professional drunk vibes.
Yes, yeah, which I guess is firefighter vibes in a way too. Yeah.
Similar thing. Putting
it's like
fires.
One of those cities so cold that you have to be drunk a lot. Like you're from Minnesota.
I think Minnesota is a little different for different reasons. There's more German people in Chicago, I think.
Right.
I also think that I think some of the Swedes, the Scandinavian people, are not quite as they don't imbibe quite as much.
Right.
They're more stoic and more like
and the cold,
reserved.
Built for the cold anyway, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
Matter. Yeah.
But you have like Wisconsin. Like Wisconsin is like the ugly version of Chicago.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. My friend who's from there, they have a big German
scene. Oh, huge.
They have Oktoberfest in Wisconsin constantly. Yeah,
I mean, Wisconsin for like 50 years, they sold more beer in Wisconsin than all the other fucking states combined.
I believe
for
it.
For a long time.
I believe it.
All the beer was made in Wisconsin. Like all the breweries were in Milwaukee. Like seven, eight breweries. Right. I think it's changed a lot, but they used to sell so much beer in Wisconsin.
That's so fucking awesome.
People get drunk there in a way that's not, it's like not a good drunk. It's like a dark, it's like darkness.
It's like this drunkenness. I see this in some small towns too, but in these like cold towns, it's like a drunkenness, like a Wisconsin drunkenness is like aiming for bed. It's like, I'm just, what are you doing tonight? It's like, doesn't matter. I'm drinking until I fall asleep, until I'm forced to bed by my own like, you know, heavy lids or whatever.
It's black outside. It's about to be black in my head.
Yeah, exactly. And I fucking get it, man. We live in Los Angeles, which is literally like a tropical fucking paradise. But the second it starts getting dark at 4:30, I'm ready to get back on the fucking red wine and bourbon and get
totally
in like cold weather drunk. Like the way I used to get drunk in New York when it was freezing and be like, I left my jacket on the subway and I must have walked home a half mile in the snow in like a dress shirt and didn't fucking matter.
The fucking bars don't close there either. That shit is insane to me.
No, dude, when I first moved here, it was infuriating that they weren't open. Oh. And then I never stayed out till 4 a.m. What? Like, you know what I mean? And then I go back to New York. I'm 41 years old. I do a live show, get some drinks after. We end up closing down the place at 3:30 a.m. I never stay out past 1 here. But in New York, it's just randomly. I'm like, yeah, I'll have another Pilsner. What time is it? 2:45? Yeah, I'll have another Pilsner.
I can't do it. It just wrecks me.
I shouldn't have. It did. It killed me.
Wrecks. It totally fucking wrecks me, baby.
Brother, I am wrecked.
The next 4 days, cancel those.
Yeah. I'm diarrheaing on a Delta flight.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh, yeah. Preacher choir, man.
Delta Rio.
The lounge. I had to fucking... I signed up for the fucking Delta Reserve card just so
me
I could...
Me too. I did it last year.
Just the shit in the lounge all the time. We've always bonded over our GI tracks. We've always had... you had, you know, some kind of more serious drama
right
in there, but I've always had the what are they? IBSD, as the kids call it.
Oh, what's IBS? I don't know IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. What's IBSD?
Some people say IBSD or IBSC, and it's like irritable bowel syndrome, diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation.
I've never heard that before. I mean, either way, it's not IBD, which is inflammatory bowel disease.
Ooh, and that's worse.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
Because you have a syndrome versus a disease. A syndrome is like, you know, it happens sometimes, maybe because you're stressed.
Activated
because your mom showed up to town when you didn't expect her, or like maybe you had too many vegan chicken patties or something like that.
Morningstar chicken patties, Boca burgers.
You just ate a bunch of cardboard, ate a bunch of fried yoga mats.
Pressed algae.
Yeah, it's a fucking, what's that stuff called? Well, they make...
Subway bread out of it.
Subway bread. What's the stuff they do, they culture bacteria in? Agar. Fried agar gel.
Yum. Oh, man, my IBSD is acting up. I think it's because I had all this xanthan gum last night.
Ooh, xanthan. I think xanthan gum is pretty good, though.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's one of those things where when you taste something, you're like, this is really good. You look at, it's got the xanthan gum in it. That's why it's so good.
Yeah, well, let me get a dozen donuts. Let me do one cruller, one xanthan.
Well, can I get a guar gum? Let me get a guar gum flavor.
How's your GI tract going these days?
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah?
It's pretty good because I mean, I said this right now after drinking last night, but I like pull back drinking significantly. It's crazy how much it helps.
I did the same thing in the pandemic, and I was just on a bender like through New York and partying and seeing family, and I'm like still recovering from that, but I feel so much better when I'm like off the sauce for like 8 days in a row.
It really is a thing. It's so remarkably helpful more than anything else. It just makes you think about what is in that stuff that we're drinking. Like, it's just not
good.
And also
all the other stuff that goes with drinking for me. Where I wouldn't normally have eaten this at this hour, but now.
And you don't get as much rest and it's like a cumulative thing, but the center of it is always okay,
let's have a couple more beers. I'm glad to hear that you're fucking, you're tackling that shit. Your hand.
I know. I recently realized how lucky I am, actually, because I guess a lot of people who've had my surgery and stuff, they have like a lot of problems, like significant problems.
Oh, geez.
And like they never get it right. They're always like dealing with stuff all the time. And it's been 20 years now. And so I'm like, you know, that's like really good. I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah, good for you. I just knocked on wood over here on your behalf.
Me too. I just knocked into some. It's wood composite. I think that counts.
Yeah, I think mine's technically a steel desk, but the thing on top might be fiberglass or wood. Either
something,
way,
something got chopped down.
I got a coffee table over here. I got you. Got you.
Yeah, touch a beam.
Would you go outside and touch a fucking beam? Would you?
Hey, touch a fucking beam. Touch a fucking beam. Like do it.
Say, touch grass. Touch beams. Would you? Okay.
That's the new thing now. Touch grass. Elon Musk. Touch grass.
Why don't you get outside and touch grass? Okay. Why don't you see a loved one? Touch
why
grass.
Why don't
right?
you go outside and touch some fucking grass? I don't know what that voice is. It's a close mic, half peshy.
Yeah. The idea of someone threatening, like, hey, listen up, kid. Why don't you do yourself a favor? Get your fucking ass outside and touch grass. It'd be good for you. Like, ending on a fucking positive swing. And get yourself a glass of water. Get some
now
sun. Now
presenting Joe Pesci does ASMR.
Okay, what you gonna fucking do? Just go out to my car. Open up the fucking trunk. Take
imagine clicking on an ASMR video that starts with that guy. Like you have your noise canceling headphones on. You're like, I'm ready to relax with some ASMR. It's like, this is your name.
Are you ready to rock? Do you want to slip into relaxation?
Ah! Scary. Very scary. Very scary.
It does have like that, like when like a evil digital entity, you know, it has like that trail, like that. You are now trapped inside of the computer. It like has that feeling of like
yeah, the
Sid
evil computer
6.0 of like Russell Crowe
like a movie
in Virtuosity or whatever.
That or some guy who's talking about Area 51.
Yeah.
Like, so you were there? Like, yes, I was definitely there. So like, tell us more about it. Well, I can't tell you more. I
can't tell you any more than I already have. Otherwise, my anonymity will be destroyed.
Can with the modulator, can you just do me a favor and say one yeah. of my favorite things to say in that voice?
Yes.
Like, I will be revealing all of the secrets of magicians.
I will be revealing all the secrets of magicians.
That's my favorite guy, the guy, the masked magician who like rats out magic magicians with how they do their tricks, but he wears a mask and a voice modulator. So
I remember seeing that as a kid being so excited to see that.
And I know. Harry, it was like a superhero.
Yes. It was a special like on NBC or something.
Yes.
And there was and Harry Blackstone said like, oh, we know who that is and he's going to be killed. He basically said they're going to kill this guy.
I know. That's what makes me so, like, magicians are, like, old school. Like, they're, like, longshoremen of the art form of something like that. Like, they've got secrets that have been passed down and shit like that. They're, like,
yeah, what a weird group.
Masons. Yeah.
It's like these guys who are kind of, like, dorks, but they're also, they rehearse a ton. They're hardcore about it, and they have, like, secret societies and all these weird, like,
yeah.
It's a strange intersection of people.
And we're rather steeped in like the subculture of being a comedian. And
right.
We kind of know what comes with that and like the kind of weird, this is not like other groups of people because we do this or this happens a lot where we're a lot of sexual assaulters just hanging out, you know. But like with magicians, that's a subculture I'm really intrigued by. I'm like,
yeah.
What is it like at the Magic Castle once everyone's left and they're like in the green room? What are magicians doing for, are they throwing, they're like, are they talking about, like the way we would be like, oh man, that fucking whatever Brian
that
Regan bit was hysterical. Are they talking about like fucking the Amazing John? Or are we all just talking about the Amazing Jonathan, both comedians and magicians?
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, like they're all just.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're probably all doing coke.
Right.
Like tons
yeah,
of
just
coke.
Just like comedians.
It seems like they wouldn't be, but they're
just
all
like comedians, just like actors, just like insurance salesmen, just
yeah.
like every single person I've ever been on a bachelor party with.
Just like everyone in Australia. The whole country of Australia, just snorting constantly.
Australians are fucking yacked to the gills. When they come to New York, they fucking love that.
That's true, isn't it? Isn't that sort of true?
In my anecdotal experience as someone who's played rugby and ran in some circles with some Aussies in New York and in California and around, yes.
Okay, because I only recently learned about that. It was from some guys, like, you know, telling some story like on TikTok. And I've been to Australia, and I didn't see any of that there. But also, you know, maybe I wasn't, like, hip enough or whatever the hell. But it seems like it makes sense that they would just be yacked because they party so hard.
Well, that's what it is, too. The other kind of stereotype or profiling of Aussies you can do is that like if there's a place outside of Australia that's kind of legendary for partying or something, Aussies are there ruining it.
Oh,
like if you go to like Fiji or Bali around spring
right?
break, Aussies are there.
at October. I went to Munich Oktoberfest for my bachelor party, and it was like 25% Australians.
Jesus.
Like, in Germany. And like, I have Aussie buddies here in the States, and like, they go to Whistler Mountain in fucking Vancouver to go snowboarding and skiing and shit, and it's a fucking absolute Aussie clusterfuck up there.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. They're just up there getting snowed in and snowed out.
Yeah, exactly. They're into the fucking snow. They just picked it up. Oh, I might. Look at this. Seems like it's pretty snowy up there if you catch the drift.
We've been up for 72 hours, but who gives a shit? Because it's snowing inside my brain. I don't care. If I don't give a fuck. Flying fucking cunt about it.
We grew up in the America. There was that period of time when like Australia was like the coolest place.
It was in the world.
Yeah, it was like with Crocodile Dundee, Outback, like all this stuff that was happening at the time. We were like, Australia's where like hot surfer men and women just are like hanging out with shark tooth necklaces and bikinis and shit.
I remember a guy in high school telling me he was going to study abroad in Australia. He was a really nerdy guy. And he was like convinced. He's like, hey, you know how we think that the British accent's so attractive? In Australia, that's how they think about the American accent. I'm going to get so laid.
They love a Minnesota accent in Australia. Yeah.
I was like, okay, man, I guess, sure.
Hey, it's a better plan than I have. I'm just going to the college my mom picked for me because I'm too fucking lazy.
God. Man, I wonder if that's actually true. It can't be true.
No, I don't think it is. You know what's really fun? One of my best friends is from Australia, and we met in New York, and he lives out here now. We're super tight. Actually, former guest of the podcast way back in the day in an early episode about rugby. His name's Paul Young. But he's Aussie, but he's from he's an Aussie redneck. He lived on a farm.
He's a bogan.
He's a bogan, yeah.
Bogans are gnarly.
So his accent is criminally unsexy.
It's all that thing, and it's just like fucking, we're going over there, and I can't even do it.
He's truly hard to understand, and it doesn't have any of the Hemsworth sexiness in it.
You sound like a hillbilly.
Right, it is.
Like a hillbilly who lives in the desert.
Yeah.
Just so.
An outback hillbilly. Mm-hmm. Oh, mate. Oh, come on. Come on. Have a fucking a cheeky one in the Arvo. In the Arvo.
All this cunts over here. You got all fucking wrong.
He was captain of the B-side rugby team when we played in New York for the shout out to Village Lions. And he got us all in the huddle before the match. It was my first match with the team. And he's like, all right, we can smash these cunts. And I forgot how the C word, it was my first reintroduction to the C word, which is to them, it's like, dude, it's our guy. It's so funny. And it's like, these fucking cunts, these cunts, these cunts. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like a little kid. I'm 27. I'm like, oh,
yeah, the worst word you can say.
Yeah, I know. One of.
You know, it's Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oops.
Well, it is probably the worst word I can say, to be fair.
There you go.
I can't say the other ones that are worse.
No.
I won't. And I can't. And I should.
No, just, yeah,
shan't,
just saying.
Can't, went.
Shan't, can't, went, won't, don't.
Won't, don't, show.
I won't. I won't. Man, I used to be able to do the Australian accent without saying any words. We did a little tour there about 10 years ago, and I just became obsessed with the accent. I was doing it so much that I could basically just do a wordless version of it. It's just like gibberish, because it's really just sounds. It's like a lot of it's like these certain little sounds, you know what I mean? Like they're not even like a word.
Yeah, this is such a fucking awful way to start a story, but I saw recently an Instagram of an South Asian guy doing that for American.
Oh, I love that shit. Right,
okay. And it was it's become a trend. I love when other people do New York, do American accents, like other countries. And it's so frequently, who was it recently that I was watching that was so funny? I think it was a rugby player that I like. But recently there was one where it's like, all right, can you try the American accent? And the guy, they frequently go get on the fucking ground. And they become
really?
They frequently do guns and cops. Because that's something that is crazy about America.
Yeah, it is.
They're always all right, can we hear an impression of Americans? And they're like, I got a fucking gun. You know, all right, I'm doing an accent for them now. They're like, hey, dude, I have a gun. Be careful. I will fucking kill you, man.
It's the southern one. They always do the, hey, you got to come over here and ride this horse. Because if you don't get off that horse, I'm going to shoot you, buddy.
That's a good genre of fucking content. Another one I really like that makes fun of Americans, too, is when they have, like, British people or European people guess how much like diabetes medication costs in America.
Oh,
and
it's God.
Always they're always like, guess how much it costs. They're like, I don't know, $3, and they're like, higher, nah. higher. And they're like, really? You fucking kidding? They're so angry really? On our behalf. They're like,
$300?
Right?
that's insane. That's absolutely massive. What are you doing over there? Oh my God. Wow. Incredible. Unbelievable. See how much it costs here? I can't believe that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I'm
it's absurd.
Naked, mate. That's
oh, I'm just naked
wild.
About that. Oh, I'm so pissed. I'm just absolutely pissed right now. Pissed. Want to go and get pissed?
I after like one bachelor party with all Brits and Aussies, I started saying pissed for instead of drunk, and I can't get it out of my system. Now I'm like that guy, and people are like, oh. And I'm like, never studied abroad there, never been there. I'm just like, now I'm saying like, I say on the piss. We were on the piss last night.
Oh, we're on the piss last night with my mates. The lads were on a piss.
We had a cheeky one after work. We had a cheeky point after work, but then it turned into just a full-on night on the piss. We got maggoted.
Oh, it turned into a lads' night, did it? A lads' night, did it?
Couple of beers with the boys escalated, then we're doing fucking snow.
Are you is this a wind up?
Yeah.
Oh, is this a wind up? Is this a wind up?
You're not winding me up, mate, are you?
What is the other thing they say that's so great? It's like a wind up, but something like that, where they say, God, I can't think what it is. Well, that was cool.
I had a British guy that I was really tight with, and he would call these like boring, lame women specifically if they were like miserable downers. He would always be like, she's a fucking Kimmer, K-I-M-M-E-R. So it'd be like, it's a Kimmer. She's a Kimmer. And so I like
what does that mean?
Was hanging out with other British people, and I was like, oh, is she being a bit of a Kimmer? And like thinking I was cool using slang, and they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about, man. And I was like, huh? So I go back to my friend Diggles, and I'm like, Diggles, what the fuck is a Kimmer, man? I never even, what part of England are you from that you say that or whatever? He's like, mate, it's just based on this bitch Kim that I went to college with. And I was like, oh.
Kim's a bit of a Kimmer. So
I think I was learning like cultural shit. I'm like, yeah. Bringing it to other Brits. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, this is a hyper specific, but our entire team would be like, oh, fuck, a couple of Kimmers just showed up, you know?
But your friend's name is Diggles?
Yeah,
so there
British
you go.
People are fucking crazy.
A guy named Diggles making up a word. That sounds about right. Diggles.
I just love how much Brits and Aussies, like, they love nicknames and fucking last names.
They
like,
love you know, it.
They love adding a nickname. Like, Pemberton, like, you could end up being, like, they call you 2,000 pounds or something like
right.
that. Because your last name has ton. Like, they could just eventually get to something like, that's Johnny 2,000. Like,
isn't
what?
That kind of like Cockney rhyming slang? You know about that?
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff is so cool. I love it.
I love all that shit. I could fucking...
Yeah.
I eat that shit up when... I think I first heard about it in like a Guy Ritchie movie, like in Snatch or something.
There's
like
a
that.
Lot of
yeah.
people who are my friends who I sort of do that with. I've been doing it with it for years. Where in my head, I call this person something that's totally different because in my head, I'm doing like, you know... I used to call this guy number one place to be because his last name was like you, like... Johnny G, number one place to be. So what do you call him? You call him place to be.
Right, exactly.
Like, how the fuck is that your yeah. name? Or like a spoonerism name, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the best.
Like Pawnee Jemberton?
Or, you know, John Daly. I always like, in my head, I always call
John
him Donnie.
Daly.
I call him Donnie Jails.
Oh, Donnie
so
Jails.
So like, oh, Donnie
too.
Jails is here. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, oh, it's John Daly. Donnie Jails. Like, but that's, to me, I just love that way it sounds, like saying Donnie Jails. It sounds so good.
It's a cool fucking name for sure.
Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking of Donnie Jails, this right. feels like a natural way for a segue into some plugs.
Oh, right. Some plugs. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get into some plugs.
Let's get into some plugs. Hair plugs. Hair.
Yeah. Come with Johnny. Johnny and I are leading a tour to Turkey where we're all going to yes. hair plugs together.
Dude,
come with us.
We're going to get fucking knackered. We're going to get pissed.
Get fucking knackered. Go to Turkey. Get a whole fucking rug put on, mate.
We're going to go there. For lads night. It's going to be a stag night. We'll get our hair plugs. Then we'll get fucking pissed at the pub. Meet a bunch of Aussie cunts and just love it. Get yacked up.
It's a stag do in Turkey. We're coming back with fucking rugs, mate. We're coming back fully headed up.
Fully head of hair. Fully head of hair plugs.
Have you heard about this, that there's like flights coming back from Turkey that are full of like 50 guys with bandages on their heads?
I have not heard about that, but that sounds
like there's so many people are going there to get plugs that there like are full flights of people with like fucking wrapped bandages on their heads on the
God,
plane. That's so funny to me.
Just stay there for a while.
Yeah, just
stay
yeah.
for a while. Make a vacation of it. Maybe you can't though.
Yeah.
But the kind of person who's doing that is like, I don't have time for a vacation.
Yeah, I think if you have enough money for a vacation, you probably have enough money to get your hair plugs done in the States.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're really good in a Turkey, but I'm assuming there's some like price point thing going on there too.
And maybe it is really good because it's like the thing where that's their thing, you know?
Yeah. When in Turkey.
As yeah. You, figure, you got a thing. Yeah, but Fallout comes out in April.
Oh, shit. Fallout, this episode's coming TV out in show. Like early winter, so I could push it too.
It's okay. I mean, the Fallout promotional thing is sort of like, that's like me promoting, what am I going to do? It's such a huge machine.
You're not
going
to move the needle. But
yeah.
You could move the needle for, say, if you had any live shows at the Den in Chicago coming.
Right, like the Den in Chicago on February 14th through 17th, where tickets are on sale now. You can buy them.
That's Valentine's Day weekend. You could take a sweetie.
Oh, yeah, you could. You could take a sweetie to Minnesota Reggae Colostomy Bag. Laugh, learn.
Take a sweetie. That phrase. All right, wait, back it up. Let's take it back into the copywriting room.
Take a sweetie to Minnesota. Come on down to Take a Sweetie to Minnesota Reggae Colostomy Bag. Live at the Den in Chicago, February 14th through 17th. That's six shows, two on Friday, two on Saturday. And I think one on Wednesday and Thursday. It's Johnny Pemberton doing his new solo show that eventually will be on TV. See it now while it's still kind of, you know, very exciting.
Raw.
It's raw. Raw, but yet very good, because he's worked very hard on it for a long time.
You hear that, Chicago heads? Get your ass anywhere in the Illinois area. You know what? You could drive over from out of state.
Drive
from
out of state!
Take your sweetie to fucking Chicago for the weekend. Get some Pequods. Eat the Au Cheval burger. Treat yourself. Go see fucking Minnesota Reggae Colostomy Bag.
Buy a bag of donuts for the car. Drive over there.
Buy a bag of donuts. Come on. Get yourself a fucking... Get in the bag. Shake the bag up. Ruin
drive
all
in.
The donuts.
Go ahead. Drive in from fucking Aurora or something like that. You're going to go into Chicago. You're going to find some stacked parking. It's going to be really cheap. And you go to the show and you have a great time. And afterwards, you... You can do whatever you want. You can go back to the hotel and have sex. You can maybe go to a bar.
In a hotel. Haven't thought of that.
Go to a bar. Go to a bar. Have a beer and a whiskey. You have a great time there in Chicago. It's like weirdo Obama in a way. You know what I mean? Because he has kind of a Chicago accent.
My brain is so broken. Every time someone says Obama, my brain inside, I can't. I have to stop myself from just going Obama. Because when Trump said Obama, was like one of the fun. Obama.
I don't even know about that. I've never heard that. Obama.
Trump randomly was in one of his like fugue state speeches and he just said like, Barack Obama. I can't like unhear it.
It's going to be a fun 24. 2024 is going to be wild.
Oh, man, shit. Yeah, we have like October surprises coming. We've got November. We've got two... like geriatric fucking battle bots.
Jesus, geriatric battle bots. That's a great thing to say. Oh my God. If they make it.
I know.
Fucking
November
make
is
it.
Far away, dog.
Like, who knows what kind of drugs they're injecting those guys with to keep them alive.
They're getting top shelf. They're getting fucking stem cell dips every morning.
They're getting weird baths, like the guy in Dune, like Baron Samedi. You get in that fucking like bath. It was like the ooze.
Is Baron Samedi from GoldenEye, though? Baron, like, Harkonnen, right?
You're right. Why did I do... That is cool.
Emma, fix this.
I've been saying Baron Samedi for years now.
That's
like
who I always
10
chose.
Fucking
I
years.
Said, I always said Baron Samedi. I was wrong.
Because you're right. No, I think it's not... What sounds better, Samedi or Samedi?
I don't know, hey, Samedi.
Hey, Baron Samedi, come on down, have a fucking sandwich here. We got some
cut
great.
Loose, have some marble rye, Baron.
They got marble rye at Portillo's. You go there and you get some great sliced beef from Al. He's an Italian guy. He's going to give you some hell about ordering, but Just be quick about when you
just
order.
Just enjoy yourself.
Baron Samedi, how do you do?
Yeah, they're fucking, Trump and Biden are getting the back to tank. They're like Boba. They're like floating in that fucking healing gel. They're in fucking Matrix goo every night.
I feel like Trump's healing gel is when he does public speaking and he gets laughs.
Yeah. No, that's true. He only gets stronger. You see him, he gains like 3 inches of height over the course of one rally.
He soaks up all the energy.
I'm too obsessed. I watched too many Trump highlights because like he just makes these choices that make me laugh. Recently, he was just talking about like the military might of the U.S. and he started going like, "And we'll kill you."
Oh my god!
And he was like acting out like little rifle shots, and he was going, "Pew pew pew pew,"
and he's like, crushing, right?
And the crowd was kind of into it, so he does it for like way more beats than you as a professional performer ever would. But he just like fucking digs in away, and it's like, this is fucking killing. He's literally got the crowd like standing ovation for fake gunfire.
That is gotta be such a high. That's what he lives off of for real. Shitty jokes.
Oh man, I mean, if I'm not lying, another thing I have in common with that guy. That, and I think my daughter is super hot.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, double down, man.
We have a lot in common, me and Donnie T. Not something the cop told on the podcast. Emma, take this part out, put it back in the beginning.
Yes, isolate it. Emma, please Samedi. Isolate. Baron Samedi. Baron Samedi. Sounds like a
musical
recording.
Guest, Baron Samedi.
Samedi. Baron Samedi and the Trumpet Boys. Paulina Castlerock. Steven Stills.
Pauline Kael.
Michael York. And
Benicio del Toro.
Michael Flatley and his Irish Dance Squad.
The Jabberwockies.
Del Griffith. I've been with Del Griffith. I'm going to turn into a soundboard now. Like from like 1999 internet
Johnny,
soundboard.
You know from me doing your pod, I like nothing more than just sitting and riffing with the fucking soundboard. It makes me laugh so fucking much.
Charlie, as don't kid, surf.
I'm a kid of talk radio. I grew up listening to Howard, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez and all that shit. So fucking voice modulation shit always just hits for me.
It's just fun. It's a fun thing. You know, it feels good. Yeah. Gets you out of the head.
Finally. Hi, yes. Kids. We're home early.
Oh, my God. I had one. Did you have one?
No, that seems like your origin story.
I had one. I had one, and I was so excited when I got it, and I was so disappointed by
how it's nothing like it. You can do nothing like the commercials.
Yeah, you can't really, like, trick your parents.
Wasn't that a frequent occurrence for us, like our generation? Like,
absolutely.
Like, this thing that looked amazing in the commercial, I need it. And then you get it. It's like, I mean, I'm sure it's universal for a lot of people, but you get it. And it's like a severe letdown because you built it up too much in your head. Like even
it just doesn't work.
Even Power Wheels. I wanted a Power Wheel so bad. King of the Road. The commercials were so fucking awesome. And it seemed so cool. You seemed so adult to be able to drive around. By the time I ever even really tried one, because my parents were poor, we were poor growing up, I was like a little too old. And when I got in, it just went like came to a stop and wouldn't move. And I was like too big and too fat and too old. And I was like, this is absolutely humbling. I've been thinking about this for like 9 years.
I wanted one so bad. I was not allowed to have Power Wheels.
No.
My parents thought they were like for rednecks.
Yeah, I see that.
They kind of are in a way.
On Long Island, they're like weirdly for like rich kids, but I also see how.
I think it's
both. As a matter of fact, in the tri-state area, rich kids have a lot of redneck hobbies.
Yeah.
It's like ATVs, snowmobiles, like all shit that like my redneck friends just did growing up, despite, you know, like that's how we got to work when I was 14 or whatever. And also what the rich kids out in Suffolk County are bombing around like a state park and like on quads too. It's like
snowmobiling. That's something I've never done it.
I rode a snowmobile. My aunt used to have one up in Lake George. Yeah.
And they're scary though.
Horrifying. Horrifying.
People die so much on snowmobiles.
I worked with a person who died on a snowmobile like God. At work. It was fucking crazy. Yeah.
No.
Hey, well, it's Minnesota reggae cost.
He lost me back. We don't talk about snowmobile accidents. We just talk about my accidents with my bowels.
We'll be talking about Snow Informer.
From Toronto, it's Snow the Informer. Grew up Constaneo.
12 Inches of Snow. Great album.
I had the cassette.
Of course. I had the single, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I had. It was the single.
Yeah, you didn't give a shit about the rest of the album. You just needed an Informer.
Yeah.
You just needed to licky boom boom down.
There was a guy in my grade school named Nathan who memorized that entire thing, and he went around to all the classes reciting it.
That's like, you could pull yourself out of loserdom with like something like this. Like, you could gain status in school by just being like, you're not going to snuggle like a blam. I like it boom, boom, down. Nah. Come with a nice young lady. Intis a juggling are coming out of rum down smarter. I mean, I'm tapped now, but I do know way too much of it as well. Because, like
though.
Your friend Nathan, Joe Nathan over here was trying to make it happen for myself. Joe Nathan, there you go. There's like a weird fucking fake nickname for me.
Joe Nathan?
Because my name's Jonathan, which is like spelled Joe Nathan if you look at it. Yeah.
Joe Nathan.
Hey, Joe Nathan, how you doing? Get over here and sit
toss
on
me
Uncle's,
some balls.
Sit
toss
on
me
Uncle some Santa Claus's lap.
Cheese balls.
Uncle Santa Claus.
Pepper steak.
Cheese balls and pepper steak.
Uncle Santa Claus is a great name, by the way.
Valentine's Day, 14th through the 17th,
yep.
Chicago, the Den Theater. Fallout coming to, you might see promos about it, even if you don't follow Johnny on social
you'll
media.
You'll see it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You'll have like, at some point, it'll just play when you don't want it to. It'll when just you, start.
Yeah, when you order a package, it's just going to start playing, and you're going to be sucked in because it's a beautiful media product.
I'm so stoked to check it out.
Me too.
I never really got into the games, but based on the cast and the premise of the games, I'm excited by it.
I think it'll be a big, fun, cool thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of big, fun, cool things, Gabrus here, your host, just letting you know, Action Boys, the podcast, still out there behind a paywall, but we got some free episodes at free.actionboys.biz. And don't forget to watch 101 Places to Party Before You Die. I don't want to say now on Max. I guess I will say still on Max for now. been promoting it for a year and a half. Don't think it's coming back, but hey, I ain't dead yet, baby. I'm not coming back on tour unless it's in a fucking body bag. Horrifying.
It is.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come.
Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I'm Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!